Thank you, Dr. Tracy. And it looks like I get the joy of trying to keep everyone awake after lunch, so I will try to do my best with that. No new information to everyone. Plant breeding is an area where we're looking at lines materials, evaluated for different agronomic traits, and we've got the ultimate goal of releasing a variety based on some parameter of interest. In particular, in small grains, when we're looking at forages, there are two or three different parameters that are really going to be what we're looking at. It's going to be seasonal or total dry matter production, persistence and maintenance of a stand, and then just kind of a casual look at nutritive value and, more likely, anti-nutritional factors. The challenge in this is that currently, the way it's set up, we really have a dichotomous system, a two evaluation system. The traditional way is we start out with small plots. They're going to be clipped, mechanically harvested, looked at for total yield, looked at for persistence. The final goal, though, is we are going to move on to the pasture scenario where we're going to look at animal performance, since that's the ultimate measure of a forage crop. But we're missing that in between. We're missing an animal evaluation without going all the way to animal performance. And that's where this study came in. We were really looking to find where is that middle ground, where is that second step in a three-step system of trying to evaluate plant breeding material, plant breeding lines, so that we can narrow down those cultivars that need to go into more pasture settings. So in this, we were going to use stocking procedures in a small pasture size with small plot of small grains to look at persistence under grazing, regrowth, vegetative traits, and then the length of the growing system. We were going to incorporate the same layout as the primary stage clipping trials, but in this, we were going to look at those benchmark measurements and use cattle in the process. So in this, we were using a three-year evaluation, 24 different small grain breeding materials and cultivars in each year. This was done in cooperation with the Samuel Roberts Noble Foundation with their plant breeding group. And each year we had oat, rye, triticale, and wheat, though the number of cultivars in each of these varied given individual years. All plots were sown at 112 kilograms per hectare in 1.5 by 4.5 meter plots. And then the borders in this entire pasture scenario were sown to an experimental wheat cultivar just so that we had a full coverage in the plot area. And the fertilizer was applied in split applications with a full blended fertilizer in the beginning and then three separate nitrogen applications throughout the year. Stocking management, here I say we have 10 stocker calves. That was more, we found that out as we were going. In the beginning, we knew from previous work that's been done in grazing trials, about 8 to 12 animals would be what would be needed to do a simulated rotational grazing. We put them on at a certain height, we take them out at a certain height. It just so happened that across these 3 years, 10 animals was what was needed to achieve what we were looking for. And then sampling and scoring. All of the breeding lines were assessed for qualitative and quantitative traits. The forage height was measured pre and post grazing for each of the different times that the animals were put on. And then out of the four replications that were in this completely randomized design, one replication was hand clipped to 5 centimeters in a 0.09 meter or 1 foot square quadrat at the beginning and end of the trial to get an estimation of dry matter yield. And this is just showing you what we were doing in terms of the pre and post measurements. This was just a height measurement before animals were turned on and the height measurement when animals were pulled off of these pastures. For the qualitative traits, notes and scores were what were used. We created arbitrary scales for this just based on what we wanted to know. Maturity and vegetation stage was really of interest to us. So we had a 1 to 4 scale from vegetative growth to senescence. Tillering was measured not necessarily at all times because the tillering was not one of the primary goals, but we did assess tillering on a 1 to 3 scale of no tillering, in-row growth to full coverage of the plot. And then utilization and preference were both measured, and these scores were calculated based on either the amount of consumption, which would be the difference in pre- and post-grazing heights, and the preference was assessed based on the stubble height of that particular cultivar when the animals came off of that plot. For statistical analysis, the height and scoring data were analyzed using the mixed models procedure in SAS. Two analyses were done on this study. In the first, species and bait were considered fixed effects, and year and replication were considered random. In the second analysis, everything stayed the same except species replaced cultivar, so that we could look at species differences and not necessarily just cultivar differences. And then in each analysis, date was considered a repeated measurement. Results were reported as least squares means. F-protected t-tests were used with a two-key Kramer adjustment, and then anything less than a 0.05 was considered significant, with less than a 0.10 considered a tendency towards significance. Now, I say all that to say this. The results in this are not necessarily just the numerical value, but an evaluation of this technique to see, are we doing what we set out to do? Is this a technique that can be set forth to plant breeders to say, yes, this is what we can do to select these lines? Well, in terms of forage mass, we were attempting to get that relationship between height and mass so that we did not have to go out and clip these plots. It would have defeated the purpose. If we were going to go out there, clip every plot to try to get an assessment of forage mass, we've gone back to defeat the purpose of why we started out. So we did try to establish a relationship between forage height and dry matter yield. In this particular study, we could not get that. Now, that tells us that disc meter readings may have been a more suitable way to get about this for mass estimation, where forage density could have been used as that indicator. But that being said, we were able to garner some information off of this. Just using the forage heights, we could see a trend across the year, and for purposes of this, I selected the first year of data. That would have been 2010-2011, the fall of 10, spring of 11, just to illustrate what we were looking at. We can see a trend here of how these forages were growing. Oat were always the least on their growth pattern, and rye were always the most. Triticale and wheat were going to be somewhere in between those. Stocking management was another part, and that was a major part of this study. How do we stock these plots so that we can achieve this intermediate step? We wanted to minimize trampling losses, but still maintain an intensive rotational grazing simulation. And by doing that, we were able to determine, not necessarily by statistics of this is the residence time, but if the cattle were stocked on these pastures for 2 to 4 days residence time, we were able to achieve that goal. And that's because, in theory, one day would have represented an excessive stocking density, excessive trampling losses in this, but anything greater than 4, so 5 days or more, would have allowed for preferential grazing of the regrowth of those forages that were preferred. And because of this, and because of the different stocking management techniques that may need to be used, this creates an intensive need for animals. And because we are working with animals, because we're not doing these clipping trials, we do have other things to consider. Palatability was not an initial parameter of interest for us. Palatability was not the purpose. We were looking for persistence under stocking conditions. But because we were working with animals, palatability becomes an issue. On the left, you can see regrowth, where here on the left, this forage was undergrazed in one of the stocking periods and has then become more mature in its regrowth, where the one right beside it was grazed heavily. And that's shown again on the picture on the right, where this is immediately after cattle were removed. This particular cultivar has barely been grazed, while this one has been completely consumed. Because we had that, we were able to still garner information. Even though it was not something that we set out to measure, we were able to garner information. Early in the season and through most of the season, oat were the preferred forage, preferred species out of all these forages. Though, as we moved through the year, it became to where rye and even triticale were not different from oat. So oat was the preferred in the early season, but as we moved through the growing season, it was not necessarily the one that was preferentially sought. From this, we can garner a few things and provide some recommendations on using this technique or improving this technique in the future. The graze rest protocol for stocking can serve as a good technique. It is a good way to go about it. And we say grave rest is a good way to go through it because if these plots were managed under continuous stocking, there's no way to get the forage parameters that are needed to evaluate these cultivar lines. Under continuous stocking, we know that the forages are being consumed, but we cannot assess regrowth or persistence. But that being said, we may need additional estimates or additional techniques of measurement to really gain that insight into what forages were persisting under this management. Palatability and preference between these breeding lines, though it was not something we set out to measure, may indicate a need for a separate plot pasture area for each different grain type or different stocking protocols for a more intense defoliation. When we get into these issues, though, we run into the need for space, the need for animals, and now we're moving into a larger scale where now we're moving into the third step of these pasture scale studies. Variable stocking intensities may could have been used, but this also requires additional resources that may not be pertinent to this stage. So, to really conclude this, we did set out to evaluate this technique. This does seem to be a good technique for evaluating breeding lines that can be moved on to the next step of animal performance, but it may need further improvement to be a steady, usable technique. And with that, I'll entertain any questions. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's a very good question. His question was, in the Northeast, oat is a very aggressive grower in compared to the rest of the small grains, where in this graph it's trending to be lower than the rest of them. This may actually be a case of the stocking management. The oat was generally the preferred forage, so in its regrowth, it's starting from a lower point. So they may have grazed below some of those growing points, and it may be trying to recover from that growth. So it may actually be an artifact of the management and not necessarily an artifact of the plant itself. Yes, ma'am.
Your last slide when you were talking about the palatability.
Yes, ma'am.
I was under the impression that rye is higher than oats. And you were saying that oats was higher. I didn't quite understand. You could just explain that a little bit.
In this particular graph, it's inverse of the way we would think about normal graphs. The lower score in this is better. And that's because in terms of the preference score, and that's shown in this slide, in terms of the preference score, it was based on the stubble height when those animals came off the pasture. So the lower the stubble, the lower the score, and the more preferred. No problem. Yes, sir.
You said one of your objectives was to look at the actual persistence.
Yes, sir. The main way that we were trying to evaluate persistence in this is cumulative growth, cumulative dry matter yield. Cumulative growth in terms of height, cumulative growth in terms of dry matter yield. Were they able to recover from that periodic stocking? Thank you.